This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Doctor, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
Oh, hey, good. We finally fixed that. Hey, sorry for the little bit of technical difficulties that we had.
Oh, no, no, it's okay.
Sorry?
No, I'm listening. I can hear you.
Oh, oh, good, good, good. So, thank you very much, firstly, Dr. Mabega, for joining us on MUT Radio. So today we are speaking about the Reproductive Technology Project, ART Project. So can you please enlighten our listeners with when we speak of this, what are we talking about?
All right. Firstly, I would like to say good morning to you and to the listeners, and thank you for having me. All right, the Project Assisted Reproductive Technology is a community. It's supported by the CEAD, the Directorate of the MUT. It is basically a technology that is used to produce offspring or to reproduce without having to use the natural way of mating. So the name Assisted Reproductive Technology is basically about reproducing or mating animals using technology without having the male side or having the balls or the male side to make the animal.
Yes.
So it okay, I'm listening.
Yes, yes, you may proceed.
Okay, and the technology itself, it's there to address reproductive challenges that hampers the reproduction due to improper breeding management practices that are currently happening in the smallholder or the communal sector or in rural farming sector. It involves different technology. Some of you might be familiar with artificial insemination. It is one of the technology that is falls under the assisted reproductive technology. We have synchronization. Ultra-synchronization is basically the use of hormones to bring the animals to heat so that the animal can have desire to mate, and reproduce. So we use hormones to synchronize, and then the animals will have to cycle at the same time. So that when we do artificial insemination, we can inseminate or introduce the semen to the female at the same time, and so that when they calf, they can calf at the same time. So it's a management tool so that you don't have animals that are born any time of the year, and especially during the seasons where there is no, you know, feed or grass in winter season. So we are encouraging farmers to have a proper breeding plan so that they don't have animals that are just giving birth any time of the year.
Oh, that is interesting. That is interesting, Doctor. So if I may ask, how long has the project existed, and maybe what initially inspired the project?
Actually, the project is still at its, you know, initial stages. It started last year around August. It was inspired by the need to improve smallholder farmers to participate in the commercial market. Like currently the farmers are just keeping animals or they're keeping their livestock just for food security. And that is not profitable because as much as the food security, you still need money to send your kids to school. You know, you need money to pay your, you know, household, for your household needs. But then we've realized that these farmers, they do have interest in participating in the food value chain. It can be beef, it can be dairy processing and all that. But the issue is that they don't know how, they lack knowledge into how as to how they can participate or they can engage in this type of setup. And so then the other issue was that they are not producing. So for you to participate in the commercial market, you need to produce more so that you can sell your products to the consumers. So now the reason for that was because they they usually ignore the issues of reproduction because reproduction goes hand in hand with production. So you cannot have production if you don't have reproduction. So they usually fail to sell their animals because there is a reproductive issues. Such as, like, sometimes, for example, if you have cattle or if you have livestock animals, your sheep and goats, you'd want them, and the common market is your auction. So when they send their animals to the auction, they don't get enough profit for the animals, and sometimes they do go back with their animals without being sold. So the issue started with that genetics. So it means the quality of the animals that they are producing is not of good standard. You know, it does not meet the market. So if they cannot sell these animals at auction, so obviously they won't be able to meet to sell them or to participate commercially due to the quality of animals that are produced. That is genetics involved, that is health issues involved. So what the ART does, or what happens is that the ART tries, we're trying to erode those bad genetics to improve the quality of, it can be the body structure, the body frame, so that ama farmers azokwazi nokuba nezinkomo like ezinkulu, so that they can make profit ezibukekayo, if I may say that. So we wanted to teach them, to provide knowledge so that they can understand how to better manage these animals so that they can be able to sell them. So hence we wanted to start from reproduction to solve or to resolve the issues that are found in reproduction, because for you to not have a quality animal, it starts with reproduction.
Yes. So in the things that you have mentioned, I think you mentioned that you work with communities. So how have the communities responded to this project so far?
You know, they are really positive about this project. Especially the community that I'm currently working with, they have never had any funding intervention from government or maybe any other stakeholder. So this was the first project that they ever received. You know, they are really positive. They are actively involved. They are eager to learn. And we are really positive about, you know, the this project going forward. We hoping that it will yield a better result. But so far, we can see positive things happening.
So can you outline maybe some of the benefits that communities get from this project?
Okay. What we do is that when we initiated this project, we started with workshops whereby we're transferring knowledge in terms of, you know, how to have basic management practices, like having records. You cannot reproduce if you don't have records, if you don't know how to record, to keep records of your animals, because when you have to have your animals, you have to keep records. So what we did was to offer those basic knowledge in terms of animal recording, in terms of animal identification, how the whole physiology of the animal of the reproduction. So so far, where the farmers have improved in terms of recording, they keep records, they write whatever activities that is happening within the community. They can tag their animals. Their animals never had ear tags, you know, numbering, which is important. If you cannot record, if you don't have the number for the animal, or if you don't have animal branding. So now they are actively doing that. So I am happy to see that whatever that they have learned during the workshop, now they are implementing.
Yes, so out of the strategies or maybe approaches that you have done during this project, maybe is there anyone that you, any one of them that you could say has been the most effective in engaging with community members?
Can you repeat the question? I did not get that.
Yes, I ask you, out of all the strategies or approaches that you have found, has there been one maybe that is most effective in engaging with community members, the approaches that you use?
Oh, yes. Certainly with regard to that one, I would like to highlight that, when you're talking about pharmacy, typically you're talking about older people. So it is dominated by older people. There's youth involved in this project as well, females as well, and also people with disabilities. They are participating in this project. So the first thing that I have learned before starting to work with this particular group is the language. When you're working with older people, they don't really give you attention if you're speaking other languages other than your native languages, So I had to learn how to speak Zulu. So I speak broken Zulu Nabo, and they really appreciate that. So my workshop, I conduct them with using that broken Zulu. I try, and they really understand me because I never get interpreters. And again, I do the practicals, hands-on practicals. Sometimes I'll just give them, whatever product or the injection to say, okay, because I've taught you this, now you can do it yourself. So I let them do this technology on their own. They can inject the EMR. I give them the equipment or the tools to put the ear tech. They do it themselves. And also, if I plan, like during the planning sessions or maybe when I'm doing follow-ups, I will contact them, and they are very much willing to assist in the sense that they will even call me to follow up. Helen, they call me Helen. Helen, please, when are you coming? What time? Those kind of things. So I have created that trust with them so that they know they can do things on their own. So that is my approach in engaging with the pharmacy, to make sure that they build the trust in me and they are confident to carry out all the tasks that I give to them because they have learned that during the workshop.
Yes, thank you very much for that answer. So you've mentioned that you have had like a challenge in language barrier you had to learn isiZulu. So are there any other notable challenges that you have faced during the implementation of this project? Maybe you've came to some communities and they didn't take it so well?
Initially, during workshop, they did attend the workshop. I did not have challenges with that. And the only challenge that I have experienced was during the implementation, the practical session. The farmers don't have facilities. For you to work on the animals, you need a crash pen, what you call a crash pen. It's a holding facility. I don't know in Zulu, what do they call it? Usually they say a dipini. You have those kind of structures. So, yes, for you to perform the technology, you need proper holding facility so that the animals can just walk freely on the race. And when you work, they shouldn't be jumping and all that. So their structures are very, very, very bad. But hopefully, because I was working with very active people who understand my passion in this as well, and who share the same passion, we really managed to work together really well despite the structural issues of the holding facilities. So that is the biggest challenge that I have experienced so far.
Oh, I hear you, Doctor. So before I let you go, Nje, one last question. So you are heading this project, and I can see that it's a success. So any advice that you will give maybe other academics who are looking to initiate or develop a similar project?
With that one, I can say, start small, create trust. Treat your participants like your partner, Because these are your farmers. You don't go there and say you know, because we I'm also learning because when you bring technology, they bring the tech, the traditional way of doing things. So you can imagine if you combine the two, you get better results, because I'm also learning there. And the most important thing is collaboration. You know, if you are collaborating with other external partners,
yes.
Some, you know, I wouldn't have bought this farmers if I did not partner with the Department of Agriculture, for instance, because they are the ones that are actively involved with the farmers. So they have identified farmers that, you know, need help, or they, you know, so collaboration is really, really, really important. Then respect and it's also very important, especially when you're working with these farmers, or when you can have anyone that you're working with. So it's very, very important to have respect so that you can get your positive response to your participants or your community that you're working with.
Oh, thank you very much, Dr. Mabega. Thank you very much for joining us on MUT Radio, and we wish you nothing but success in maybe future projects and this project going forward.
Well, I thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, that was Dr. Mabega, a lecturer in the Department of Agriculture.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.